in what we know of, where it was twisted. Genesis chapter 3. We go all the way back because it was twisted from the beginning. And so the thing about it is this, well, I'm just going to paraphrase this rather than read it for word for word. But it starts off Genesis 3, 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" This is not just a one-time conversation. It doesn't say they talked before, but I get a feeling that she knew that voice. I think that she was comfortable with that voice. See, a lot of times before we come to know Jesus, we hear a voice that will talk to us, even after we come to know Jesus, that's familiar of all these negative things. We get familiar with this voice, even though it's a wrong voice. And it's a voice that will twist things. You ever say something to somebody and you meant it one way? And somewhere from your mouth to their brain cells of rewiring as it comes in through their ears and hitting that hammer bone, the drum, and into their thinking, it was totally wrong. When I went to college, I was chastised for some of the words I used. I didn't know some of the words I was using were bad words. To me, they're just words. But then I married a lady. I don't know if she's ever done anything to harm a fly. But the thing about it, I would say things and she would look, especially the first couple years of marriage. I'm like, I'm just talking my normal redneck hood. I grew up with five older brothers, and if you didn't have duct tape, you had baling wire. And so that's how you put things together. And if you didn't have those two, super glue was wonderful as well. And so we, growing up, we would go to church, but church wasn't in us and things like that. And so I'd say things and she would look at me like, "What did you just say?" Because of our culture. But sometimes you get so familiar with words, even if they're not healthy words for you, and they come in and get planted, and God wants to remove those. But the devil will come in and twist even healthy words. So someone will come up and say, "Hey, nice haircut." "Oh, you didn't like my other haircuts?" Twisted. Or, "Hey, that outfit looks good on you." "What, my other outfits look horrible on me?" Twisted. Or, "Nice toupee." "I don't wear one, so I'm good." "Neither does Roger, so we're good." "Huh, Roger?" "Maybe you do, I don't know." I love picking on Roger, and he knows that. But the thing about it, the devil spoke kindly to her. "Did God really say that? Did God be careful? Did God really say that?" See, she already knew what God says because Adam had told her, "Hey, stay away from that tree. Don't eat that tree. It's not good." And what her response was this: "Of course we can eat any fruit from the trees in the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. And God said you must not eat it or even what? Touch it." Did God actually say do not touch it? Not according to the Bible. See, Adam gave her instructions. I mean, we assume that because she wouldn't know. I mean, we have to do a little assumption that they actually communicated. They're the only two humans at the time recorded in the Bible, and so they had to communicate somehow. And so, did Adam say, we don't really know all their conversation? But she goes, we can't even touch it. So now, she's starting to twist words. See, we got to be careful when God speaks to us that we don't twist His words. And because it's so easy to come along and say, did God actually say, hey, don't do that? Well, He said, she goes, we can't even touch it. Well, there's nothing matter with if God says, hey, don't do something, like don't drink. It's probably a good thing, don't go to the bar. I mean, it's okay to make the parameters a little bit wider because there is things called a shoulder on the road with those bloop-bloop things to keep you from going down the ditch. And those are great when you're driving and you ask, hey, you want to hear a cool noise? And they're like, yeah. And you hit those bloop-bloops going at 75 miles per hour. It's a wonderful time. But the thing about it is that she was twisting God's word in a way to open a door. See, the devil will come and say, hey, what about this, Eve? Or he'll say, hey, or he'll, see, the devil will speak to you as much as God speaks to you. And sometimes he even speaks more to you because you were more used to his voice. And I guarantee you, if I went around the room, we all would probably say, yeah, I've listened to the devil one too many times in my life. I don't as much anymore. He's not as powerful in my life and all that. That's fine. I'm glad. But there's probably been at least one time because it says that now he was the shrewdest. Being shrewd means people can twist things. You ever met somebody and they're kind of like a slick willy, I would say. I met several of them and I'm like, I think I'll just keep on walking. You know, just like the Israelites went around. I'll just keep on walking. And so he goes, don't even touch it. If you do, you will die. Touching it would not kill you. But eating it would. But to eat it, you would have to, more than likely, grab a hold of whatever fruit that tree was. And the devil says, you won't die. Isn't that his trick? Isn't that the twisting of God's word? You won't really die. It's okay. Well, for me, I want to use a lot of things I've been walking through since I got done with my 25-day fast. That birthday cake for your son, that won't really hurt you. If he told me not to eat it, surely I wouldn't die there on the spot. I mean, I don't think I would. I mean, it's been a while since I had sugar. Maybe I would. But the thing about it is that but maybe my relationship with Christ would be severed a little bit. See, we look at the natural. Well, that won't really hurt me that bad. It's okay if I do that. But God's like, you know, and the devil says, it's not going to be that bad. Actually, it's going to be a lot of fun. If you take a bite of that fruit tree, if you take a bite of that item, if you go and just say that little white lie, it's okay, because you really don't want to hurt their feelings. You know, ladies, don't do this to you guys. How does this outfit make me look? Because you put him in a position, what if he doesn't like that outfit on you? Guys say something, you always look good. Hey, then he'll come back, what do you mean by that? God created you beautiful, so there's your way out front. But the thing about it, the devil says, we'll go around, and he goes, it won't be that bad. Sin, it's going to be fun. Sin is actually a lot of fun for a season, and then the season's over. Then you have to pay the consequences. When's the season's over? We don't know. Hopefully before you die so you can deal with it, so you can get saved and be healed and set free. And then verse 5, it goes, God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Satan will twist things to make you feel that you are a god. Look, you can be as smart as God. Or look, you can be smart as Google. Look, you can be as smart as this or that. Or the devil will come in and say, hey, look, God understands if you do that. God, he goes, you'll be just like God, knowing both good and evil. I wish I wouldn't know evil. I wish I, because they knew good. They did good. But the thing about it, this is just my own theory. If Adam would have stayed in the garden, tending the garden, and not entertained other things, not entertain these false accusations, entertain. See, people will always talk about you. But what you're going to do about it, just don't entertain it. Keep doing what God's called you to do. Because if you're over here trying to defend yourself about all the twisting of words, should hear what they said today, Mildred. Whoopee-doo, who cares? But I'm going to tell you right now, keep attending the garden God's giving you. In marriage, take care of the marriage that God's giving you. Kids, take care of the kids that God's giving you. Your job, keep working hard at the job God's giving you. The ministry opportunities that you have, keep working hard at those things. And don't worry about what other people are doing. Because guess what? They're not worried about you and what you're doing. So many times we think people are really talking about us, and actually we're not that important that people talk about us. I'm not, in the scope of the world, no one knows I exist besides a handful of people. I'm not president of the U.S., so nobody really, I mean, compare, I don't have that many likes or followings on Facebook. I don't even own an Instagram page. Never been to TikTok. I'm good. But the thing about it, here he is twisting words. So, the word twisted in the biblical literature term means twisted. So they get twisted. Words get twisted when they're spoken. You ever listen to a song that you used to listen to when you were younger? I mean, I'll go back and listen to some, I don't go back and listen to the 80s music, but every once in a while you're in a store and the 80s music comes in, and they go, from classic rock, the 80s. I'm like, great, I'm a classic. Or beyond. And you stop and start listening to the words, you're like, oh my goodness. Or there's a person who will play some 1930s, 1940s music, and with the words underneath. Some of those songs are psycho. They're not really healthy. Talking about this guy who still has his wife's hand after she passed away. Yeah! 1940, 45 or something like that. Really creepy. And he goes, every time I kiss you, I lose the parts of your body. I'm like, what? See, the thing about it, the words, we always think, wow, that was some good, wholesome music. No, the words always been twisted. Twisting the truth. Twisted often conveys the ideal of a moral or a spiritual distortion. Twisting things distorted. It goes with deviation from God's intended path. God's plan wasn't for Adam and Eve to eat that fruit. It was for them to walk in the cool of the day with him continuously, day in and day out. That was his ultimate plan. That's the reason why Jesus came. Why? So we can have a relationship with him and we can walk with him in the cool of the day. Or in Minnesota, the heat of the day in the winter. But his desire was always have that relationship with us. The concept of being twisted can be applied to both physical and metaphorical contexts with the scriptures. The Hebrew word often associated with twisted is a vowel, A-V-A-H, which means to bend or twist or distort. This term is frequently used to describe the iniquity of sin, indicating a deviation from righteousness. Proverbs 2:15 describes it. Whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. It highlights the departure from straight and narrow path of God's desire. So the thing about it, even when you try to speak a compliment into somebody's life, things get twisted. Or you think you should be coming up for a promotion or be encouraged by some. You know, little kids are great because what did they do to the parent? They give them their artwork. How many of you still have the artwork of your kids of when they were like way little? Okay, you have some. But it's not on the refrigerator anymore, is it? It's in the closet. In a box! Save for when they get married and say, look how much they grown. But what did they do when they did it? They go, look, Mom and Dad, look at my partner. And if you did not say, well done, son, daughter, what would they have been to do? They don't like it. I mean, the cool thing about it, when artwork happens, you're not supposed to stay in the lines. Did anybody ever tell you that? My art teacher growing up in grade school, art teacher, stay in the line. I'm thinking, why? It's boring staying in the line. See, for me, outside the line coloring was exciting. But they never encouraged me to do that. They actually discouraged me to do that. So I twisted what they're saying. You're not good enough. You're not good. They never said that. They just say, hey, you're not following the instructions. But in my mind, I got it all twisted up because the devil says, hey, I'm going to get this kid while he's young. Because if I can influence their thought life now, man, when he gets a little bit older and somebody will come along and says, I don't like the outfit you have, huh? Who picked that out for you? And there's been times I've shown my wife my outfit and she goes, nada. And she's not rejecting me. At times, when I was a lot younger, it would have been that way because the devil would have twisted it. Especially when we first got married. Man, I had some hideous ties. Horrid looking ties. And before we got married, I would bring two or three ties with me. This is a true story. She goes, this is the best of the worst. Like they were all horrible. But this is the best one to go with your outfit. So the good thing about it, my color coordination hasn't gotten any better. Someday, it might. But someday, I might have to FaceTime my daughter and say, hey, how do I look? And she'll say, I went running 3 1/3 miles today and I came back. And before I left, my wife rolled her eyes. My daughter rolled her eyes. I go, I didn't get hit. People saw me coming. It was hideous, but I did not get hit. But I could have taken what their eye roll meant or what they would have said as been twisted. All I took it as like, I'm wearing a goofy looking outfit. I don't care because I got to put my 3 miles in today. And if I don't, I'm going to be behind schedule. But guess what? I didn't get hit. And I didn't slip and fall on any ice. Thank God for the summer we're having. See, there's another story. 1 Kings 22, verse 10 and following. I want to read this one because it'll make a whole lot more sense It's probably not a well-known story. I mentioned it a week and a half ago, but I need to read it here. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 10 following. If you follow along, say there. If not, we're just going to get going. King Ahab, remember, he's married to who? Jezebel. All right, that's all you have to say. Of Israel, and the king of Jehoshaphat of Judea, dressed in their royal robes, were sitting on the thrones at the threshing floor near the gate of Samaria. All Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. One of them, Zedekiah, son of Mr. K, made some iron horns and proclaimed, "This is what the Lord says. With these horns, you will gore the Arameans to death." That sounds pretty cool.
Here.
All right. Verse 12. All the other prophets agreed. Yes! They said, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, and for the Lord will give the king victory." When everybody's saying the same thing, get another opinion as well. Verse 13. Meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micah said to him, "Look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success." But Mr. M replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say." That's sometimes the most scariest place to be. When Micah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, "Hey, should we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or should we hold back?" The prophet replied sarcastically. I love that. Because I think I would reply the same way. I mean, growing up in the 80s and 90s, it's part of our native tongue to be a little sarcastic. And so I don't try to be sarcastic. I do a lot better than I used to. But he arrived, and so he replied sarcastically, "Yes, go up and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory." In other words, he said, "Yeah, right, go up." You know, he's being sarcastic, and the king understands sarcasm. But the king replied sharply, "How many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord?" This is not their first encounter. This is not their first encounter. This is not the first time this prophet has been drugged to the king. He says, "Tell me what God's saying." Remember, he has prophets of Baal. His wife brought in prophets of Baal. Wicked prophets. Not of God. And so with that, he's brought in a prophet of God and says, "Whenever you speak to me, speak to me." He knew he was not telling him the truth. And then Micah told him in a vision. "In a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, their master has been killed. Send them home in peace." And so in other words, you're not going to make it, king, if you go against it. "Didn't I tell you," the king of Israel exclaimed to Jehoshaphat, "he never prophesies anything but trouble for me?" Well, you think about it. If somebody keeps going down the wrong way on the road, aren't you going to tell them they're going the wrong way? You know, yeah, you're going to tell them, all they do is honk at me. They must not like me. Well, stop doing the wrong road. Verse 19, and Micah continued, "Listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right and left. And the Lord says, who can entice Ahab to go into battle against Ramoth Gilead so he can be killed?"
There's enticing spirits
that would love to see you go to battle that you're never designed to go. Continuing, then there were many suggestions. And finally, a spirit approached the Lord and says, I can do it. I got a plan. How will you do this? The Lord asked the spirit. The spirit replied, I will go out and inspire all of Ahab's prophets to speak lies, twisting the truth. Twisting the truth is called a lie. No matter how you, in every lie, there's a twist, there's a part of truth. Might be only 1%, but there's a little nugget. He goes, how will you do this, Lord? And the Spirit replied, I'll go out and inspire all these prophets to speak lies. You, and this is what the Lord says, you will succeed. Go ahead and do it. See, when some flattery. Oh, you're such a good guy. Oh, your beards are so handsome, you guys.
Thank you.
Flattery. And what they say, flattery to get you nowhere. Yeah, it does. It gets you a lot of places, and sometimes a lot of places of trouble. So you see, the Lord has put in a lying spirit in the mouths of all your prophets, for the Lord has pronounced your doom. And then Zedekiah, son of Canaan, walked up to Micah and slapped him across the face. This is getting personal. Getting slapped, getting beat up, telling them each other they're liars. And then he slapped him across the face. Since when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me? This is a very, when did the Lord leave me and spoke only through you? I'll say when you left the Lord. We have to be careful when God comes in that we do not get here. God can only speak through me. I love Pastor Frank. I love Pastor Johan. I love the bishop. I love you guys because the Lord can speak through me and through you. No one has a corner on the market for the Holy Spirit. If they do, God's going to remove that corner. Because we all have the same Holy Spirit in us. We might speak it differently. We'll have a different flair. All those things. And that's okay. And then Micah replied, you will find out soon enough when you are trying to hide in some secret room. This guy is calling him out. And then it continues. He goes, arrest him, the king of Israel ordered. Take him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to my son Joash. Give them this order from the king. Put this man in prison. Feed him nothing but bread and water until I return safely from battle. And then he spoke up with the last. He goes, if you return safely, it will mean that the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added to those standing around, everyone, mark my words. Well, the thing about it, King Ahab, King Jehoshaphat went out, they switched outfits, and they died. Think about it. God placed these words. They were twisted, and the king didn't care. One person was speaking the truth. But because the king wanted something certain, he goes, I'm not going to listen. We got to be careful when people speak that we take it and decipher it according to God's word. God's word is the only thing that's true. And when we base things on God's word, it doesn't matter how I feel. Because guess what? The devil will come along and says, he'll twist words, and he goes, how does that make you feel? Oh, my feelings got hurt. Okay, your feelings got hurt. But with your feelings being hurt, Are you going to twist it and say he doesn't like me or she doesn't like me? Or are you going to say, you know something? Sometimes the truth really hurts. You know, I've had some frank conversations with some people, and I try to be fragile, not fragile, it's not a good word. I try to be gentle. I really do. I tried that a couple times. And then I'm tripping over my words. And I'm like, good grief. I'm not as elegant as other people I know. And I look at it in a good way. But when Johann speaks and talks to different people, I just sit there, I'm like, that's what I wanted to say, but it would not come out that way. Part of it, Johann's a lot more linked into the language. He's more polished. He's more of a pastor. And I'm over here, I'm sitting in my own little corner, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, that he said those things, because mine wouldn't have come out. And that's a good thing, because we have different tactics for different times, for different places. Because I'm built different than Johann. He's a builder. I'll be the wrecking ball. Bring me in. I'll tear it down. Let me wreck it. And then he'll come along and build it up. He's a builder. If you want, I mean, he'll take stuff and God give him vision. And next thing you know, it's like happening. I'm like, how? Then you have Pastor Frank. He's one of the kindest souls I know to everyone. I mean, if you don't know who Pastor Frank is, that's because you've never met him. Seriously. When we had Gene's wedding funeral here a couple months ago, he came and he's down in the basement and he knew 3/4 of the people before he left. And he only knew 1 or 2 people before he got there. And I just sit back and I'm like, man. But I could twist those things, says I'll never be good enough. But that's not true. I'm good enough in Christ because of the way he created me. And I'm supposed to say my name in my garden, and I can admire their garden. I mean, there's gardens in the Dodge Center. I walk by, I'm like, how in the world did they do that? Their flower garden and all those things. My front yard, I'm like, can we rip out the shrubs and plant like blueberry bushes and things that are more edible and stuff like that? I don't need these fancy plants. But yet you can admire them. But the thing about it, stay in your own garden. Till and work your own garden. And so it's so easy to get twisted on things. Then in Isaiah 24 verse 1 through 3 it says, behold, the Lord will lay waste to the earth and make it desolate. He will twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. See, even the Lord has to twist. It wrecks things. Doesn't mean because the Lord's shaking things. But so many times we hear voices. But then, in the New Testament, in Acts 13:10, let me turn there. Because now we're dealing with 2,000 years ago stuff. Or so. Acts 13:10. We'll pick up in verse 9 of 13. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. After salvation, I think it's probably one of the most glorious things that you can happen in your life, is be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that means evidence of speaking in tongues sometimes. But there's always power, anointing, all these different gifts that he gives you, and also the fruit. I love seeing people fruit. And so here he is. Verse 9, Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked at the sorcerer in the eye. Everybody know what a sorcerer is? It's not like something that you put your coffee on, okay? It's not something that floats in the air. Like a UFO saucer, okay? This would be somebody who would probably speak to the dead, somebody who would be in New Age, we would say, along those lines, somebody that would be the opposite of living a holy life. This person would be going after the wrong spirits and things such as that. And so he looked at this person in the eye. Then he said, "You son of the devil." I never said that to anybody. Not even when Jerry was walking through her stuff. I never said that, did I?
Nope.
I never said that. Now I'm thinking, I'm like, maybe I should have. Maybe they got rid of him quicker. But the thing about it, he goes on, he goes, "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, and the an enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord?" Verse 11, "Watch now, for the Lord has his hand of punishment upon you, and you'll be struck blind," and go on with that. But the thing about it, people who are not of God will twist words and they'll try to prevent you from moving forward. People who say, "Well, I'm just the devil's advocate." You know what you need to do with the devil's advocate? Get some duct tape. Or gorilla tape now. And just tape your mouth shut. Because the devil doesn't need an advocate. He does a good enough job with his... with himself and all of his fallen angels. So the thing about it is that he does a good enough job on his own. I don't need a friend that says, "You know, I don't think Johan needs a friend like this either. I'm here to be your devil's advocate." What? That's no good news for him. He's just like Jesus told Peter. What did Jesus tell Peter? "Get behind me, Satan." We'll look at that here in a few moments. See, the thing about it, even well-intentioned people, if they're not of God, if they're not encouraging you, they're not doing things saying, "Hey, Mary, you can do it. You know that backpack God's given you, like Dora the Explorer? Go explore things and go touch, heal people, set them free." Would you rather have me say that than say, "That backpack's too heavy for you, Mary"? No, I want someone to come along and say, "Put on that backpack and let's go exploring. Jared, you got those swords, use them." See, the thing about it, you need people to come along and say, "You can do it." You young mothers, you need guys, ladies, older ladies that will look at you and say, "I've been there, I've done it, I've got through it with my kids, you can get through it with your kids." You might have to, like, "Can you take them for a week?" But you can do it. God blessed you with them. They're a blessing. Kids are a blessing. But the world will say, "You have how many kids?" The world will always twist what God says. That's the reason why. If the world's saying it, you might not want to agree with it. You might want to go along and disagree with it. Because the world will say, "We have enough people on the earth." I'm saying, no, let's keep populating it. Because the first command God gave Adam and Eve, what did he go? "Go get to know each other and populate the world. Have abundance. And more and more and more." That's the first command. And you know something the world will say? "Stay on the... No, we got enough kids. You can't afford it." The world will lie to you. Even the people in the church. I've had, and I bought this lie. "You'll never make enough money to raise as many kids as you want." And I'm like, "Oh, well, that's probably true." It's because, you know something? Now I regret that. I ask for forgiveness. And now I'm like, "Lord, you're my provider, not the church. The Lord's our provider." And when he says, "Let's do it." Like I've been saying, the world thinks they're wise, but their wisdom is stupid. There's a video I saw of this guy restoring a car. The car sat in this person's barn for 40 years. I was going to get to it someday. The world says, "Go buy a car, put it in the garage, and let it sit there for 40 years. That's not the wisest thing to do. If you get a car, use it. Use it until it falls apart. Put it back together with some duct tape and baling wire and super glue and send it back down the road. And God's going to bless you. See, as Paul confronts this sorcerer, we got to confront these lies, these twisting spirits. We get to confront them. Says, you know something? I am not that. You ever heard the saying, once a drug addict, always a drug addict? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Once a liar, always a liar? That's a pit of hell. Once this, always this? That's from a pit of hell. Guess what? Once a child of God, you can always keep growing to be a child of God. You know, because I'm telling you right now, we got to confront it and look at it and call it out. Matthew 4, 1 through 11, Jesus is being tempted as he starts his ministry. Did you know when he was tempted? He was on a 40-day fast. He didn't start out as a 40-day fast. He just started fasting. And guess what? I don't think it was his choice to fast. Because it said the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he didn't have, it didn't say he had water or food. I went on that tour. I started a 21-day fast and ended up being 25. And the thing about it is that water's great, but man, add a little lemon to it, it's a whole lot better. I guarantee you, they probably didn't have a little lemon tree he's going squirting around. But he was driven that way. And guess when he was attacked? At the end of those 40 days. And he goes, the thing about it, he was tempted with food. Hey, look at this bread. Homemade. Homemade bread is the best bread. Hands down. There's nothing. My mom, I mean, it wasn't the frozen, like pre-made, like ready to self-rising. I mean, she would like beat it, pull it apart, put the cloth over it, set it in the sunlight, it rise, beat it up again. You know, the old way, she would add yeast to it. Then have this self, and so, but man, after all they seen her beating this stuff up, she'd pop it in the oven. She'd pull it out, and there's butter already on the table. That thing was not cold, and it was gone. When you have five older brothers, so there's six boys, and my dad, who was a big boy, that bread was gone quickly. The devil will tempt you and twist things to make you hungry for things that you're not supposed to have. And then he takes him, says, look at this lamb. You bow down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. Because it's been given to me. Adam and Eve gave it to me, Jesus. You know the story. I got fair and square. Well, maybe not, but hey. They still gave it to me. And then Jesus goes, nope. The devil will always speak to you and offer you something when you're not ready for it. It wasn't Jesus' time to be ruler of the earth. He will come back as ruler of the earth. He will have all earth. The words that will speak, you should have got that promotion. No, you didn't get promoted. We don't know why. But God didn't want you promoted, and that's okay. Be okay where God has you at. Because guess what? The devil will twist this. Wow, you're better than they are. You work harder than they do. You're better looking than they are. You're always on time. They're 2 minutes late all the time. They're always taking a smoke break and things like that. The devil will twist things. And then he took him up to this pinnacle peak and said, hey, Jesus, if you're really Jesus, and God says that he got angels charging around you, just jump off.
No parachutes.
Remember, there's no parachutes back then. Just jump off. And God won't let you get hurt because, well, I know God. I know him very well. I was in heaven with him for a while. And Jesus looked at him. No, I'm not going to test my God. Don't put God to a foolish test. Use God's wisdom. You know, when Jerry and I went up to the Twin Cities to pray over the different parts with Dr. Charles, someone told me to be safe. The guy, I go, show me in the Bible what God told me to be safe. He told me to be wise, but he never told me to be safe. There's a big difference. Wisdom will keep you safe more than safety will keep you safe. Wisdom tells you to build a fence around your property if you have a dog, to keep the dog inside your thing. So at 6 o'clock when a person's out walking, he's not getting attacked by a big old black dog. But the thing about it is that being safe, I just walk where... No, I want to use wisdom. Because safety is overrated in the church. Because if the church was more proactive and more wisdom-based, because it says, where does wisdom start from? The fear of the Lord. If I feared God more than I fear man, the church would be be out there where it's not safe. Tell me, the church in Iran is safe. No, it's not safe. They're using wisdom, but it's not safe. It's not safe for me to go and preach downtown Minneapolis because I'm not called there, first of all. And if I did go, I'd use wisdom and I'd take people who already know what they're doing. And so Jesus being tempted. Then in Matthew 16, 21, it says, from the time on Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside. This is so interesting. He's taking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords aside to himself. He says, come on, Jesus. I mean, he's the rabbi. Jesus is the rabbi. Peter is the understudy. Takes Jesus to the side. And Peter starts to rebuke him. Think about that. I've never rebuked Jesus. Peter has. Peter has two names, Simon and Peter. And God, Jesus will go back and forth with them. It's quite interesting. And so Peter took him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus, from the foundation of the world and before, his whole goal was to die on that cross. My whole goal is to follow Jesus. Then Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't have the mind that concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Twisting spirits will make you more concerned about human needs than the kingdom of God. The twisting spirit will always say, what about my needs? They're not being met. And God, and the thing about it, we should look and say, how can I meet somebody else's? How can I touch somebody else's life? But the twisting spirit will come in and says, look, they didn't give you a thank you note. Look, they don't even appreciate you. Look, you weren't even mentioned in their phone call. Look how much work you put in. You ever did clean the whole house or you helped out with a major thing and no one said thanks? See, if you do it for thanks, you'll always be let down. Especially if you do it in the ministry. If you do it to get a postcard from me or a thank you note from me, I'm not good at those. I wish I was better. So this is my thank you note for you all. Thank you for coming to me. But the twisted spirit will say, he doesn't care if we're there. I do care. I care for everyone. I care for a lot of people. I try to have compassion. I really do. I'm not the most compassionate person. But I have never really met too many prophets that are the most compassionate people. Pastors are very compassionate. I mean, they ooze compassion. You hang out with Johan, he has more compassion than a lot of people. You hang out with Pastor Frank, that dude has compassion. I mean, I don't know where he gets his compassion from, but man, I'm not tapped into it. But you know, ask my kids. Yeah, that's not that most compassionate person. I don't think me hearing it suck it up, buttercup, most of my life helped either. Well, while you're crying, I'll give you something else to cry about. I don't think those probably helped. Or you get yourself in the issue or your own that problem. You have to deal with it yourself. But yet we can blame our past, twisted. And the devil says, well, you can't change. No, I'm more compassionate today than I have been in my entire life, to be honest with you. And I have a lot of, even though it might be here compared to other people, but my compassion for, because to be honest with you, my compassion is like a junkyard dog. If you know me, I'm the friendliest, happiest person you'll meet. Very excitable, very, hey, let's go do this for God. But man, if you don't know me, and you try to hinder one of the sheep that God's placed under me, I'm not too kind about that. You ever try, you know, I remember hearing about Fat Albert, you know, how he used to be like a junkyard there and they had a dog and stuff. That's what my mind goes back to. But those who know me, I'm nice and friendly. But guess what? This lady that Peter looked at and says, no, Paul, I'm sorry. Paul addresses, you son of the devil, or whatever he said to her. I guarantee you, and her handlers weren't too excited that he was going to cast his spirit out. But those who were hanging out with Paul say, oh, Paul, you're the greatest. Just like with Jesus, he had compassion. And in that compassion, you know who hated him the most? The religious leaders. Because he looked at him and goes, you brood of vipers, stop doing that. So Jesus took Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. I guarantee you, Peter probably felt this big. But Satan could have easily twisted it and used Peter against Jesus. Then Jesus said to the disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross. In other words, you get to be my followers. And the thing about it, we got to be careful when people talk to us that we don't twist their words. Especially when somebody disciplines us or somebody in a good way rebukes us because we're going against what God told us to do. Because what will happen, I almost guarantee you, is that when somebody in the church gets disciplined or rebuked, they'll start saying, the pastor's mean, and the pastor doesn't like me, I'm going to go find someplace else that won't discipline me. You ever had your kids get mad at you because you disciplined them? And you didn't do anything wrong, but they're the ones that did it? See, a lot of times when God disciplines me, I have to look, well, all the time, I have to look at myself and like, where did I mess up, Lord? But what does it say in His Word? He loves those who He disciplines. And the devil loves. He's a liar and a thief. He'll always lie to you. He never tells you the truth. He never will. He'll always lie. He'll always rob from you. He'll come to steal, kill, and destroy. First, he'll steal the words that have been spoken. And then he'll mix them up so you can be destroyed. So tonight, maybe you have some stuff that's been bouncing around your head. Maybe you need a healing. Maybe you need a prayer from somebody. I think Johan would be willing to pray with you before he has to get going. I'm willing. My wife's willing. If not, she is now. But we'd love to pray with you. Break this thing off. We're going to pray it be broken off of the Living Water Church. Because guess what? It's a lying spirit. And that thing needs to get out of the church. And the lying spirit has friends. It's called gossip. It's one of them. Lying spirit loves to gossip. But we're going to believe for great and mighty things. Father, we come to you right now. Lord, we just praise you. We ask now that whatever has been spoken over us that have been lying.